So our thoughts this evening are entitled The Easy Yoke. And we find this scripture in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. We're going to read it according to the New International. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest in your souls. That's how it reads in the NIV. And you know, when we think about yokes, we've got yokes and we've got crosses. And we're going to look at, you know, really what's the difference between the two? Very distinct differences, but we're going to look at it from a biblical standpoint. And let's go ahead and we're going to look at what the scriptures have to tell about it. Now, you know, in the Bible, if we look in the Bible, there are various yokes described. The Jews were under the yoke of the law or the yoke of bondage, and that's religion. Mankind is under the yoke of transgressions, sin and death. Babylon is under the yoke of confusion and ignorance. So if we went back in scriptures, there's references to all of these as being yokes. The yoke of Egypt is really talking about the yoke of the world in which we live, and that can easily consume us. The yoke of youth, and that's our responsibilities. And, you know, as we see youth take on responsibilities, that's a good thing. The yoke of marriage, which, you know, we know from God's arrangement, this is a very good thing if it's rightly exercised. And the power of two is much greater than the power of individuals. And then finally, the yoke of Christ. And that's being part of the, you know, it's one of the hats. It's part of that heavenly family. And that's a very, very good thing, isn't it? So when we look to scriptures, there's yokes described throughout, and these are the ones that I found that were commonly used. It's important to note, though, as we look down this list, some of these yokes, you know, we can find ourselves under of the world and some other things. The important point is we actually choose our yokes. We chose what we do with our lives. Remember, we give our lives to the Lord, and then he gives it back. And then it's all about stewardship and how we take care of it. What do we do with our time and our talents and our money and our influence? So we actually choose the yokes under which we are find ourselves. And probably the majority of us here, any of that are consecrated, are under the yoke of Christ. We voluntarily took that yoke on. Many of us are married, and we took that yoke on. So yokes are a decision that we make. It's a decision we need to be careful about as well. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, we read, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Now, this is a cross. We're going to look at the contrast between, what's the differences between yokes and crosses? What are the distinguishing features? And with a cross, of course, as it says in 1 Corinthians 15:31, I die daily. So it's a daily sacrifice and really a reference to death as well. Of course, we realize, be thou faithful unto death, obviously, and I will give thee a crown of life. So that's the long term. But daily we're dying or laying down our lives. And Psalm 50 and 5, one that we all know and love. I really like the New International Version because of the wording. Gather to me my consecrated ones who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. That really gets to the point, right? So that's a covenant unto death. That's the crosses. So when we look at crosses and yokes, what's the same? Well, in both cases, you know, our consecration is spiritually oriented, just like the cross. It's for a called out class. It's a special invitation. And as an invitation, it's not something that's forced on you. It's not like that registered mail letter you get in the mail and it says appear for jury duty. You must do it. So anyway, what we see is that there are many similarities between yokes and crosses, but what's the difference? Let's see. Well, as we look at crosses, it's all about the individual. And when we look at yokes, it's a different picture. It's a shared responsibility. When we look at crosses, it's personal decisions. And when we look at yokes, it's a common direction. It's a group effort. When we look at crosses, it's for proving. And there's a difference. When we look at yokes, it's all about fruitage. It's the results. And ultimately, when we look at crosses, it's all about going to one's death. And when we look at yokes, it's all about going to work. Quite a difference, isn't it? And yet they're very similar. And really, when we look at crosses, it's all about a covenant. When we look at yokes, it's all about works. What does this remind you of? As we started to contrast this, of course, what comes to mind is what we find in James 2:22. This is the New American Standard. As a result of the works, faith was perfected. And so we see a dichotomy here. So we see in the character of Christ, we've got two sides of it, faith and works. And remember, this is what James was struck, you know, they were going back and forth. Is it faith or is it works? And in fact, it's yes, it's faith and works. And when those two are combined, we call that an acceptable sacrifice. So it takes both. And as a result, I think we've got a pretty good idea because we often talk about the cross, especially around memorial, and we go into the symbolism and we look at all of that. So we have a good idea, but maybe we don't do that same thing with yokes. So there are aspects of the Lord's yoke. That was that last one that we talk about in Matthew 11, 26 through 28, New International. The Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest in your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Now, as I read that in its entirety, we're going to go ahead and dissect this, and we're going to look at certain key words in this statement. The first one being reveal. So we see that this is revealed to a very special and select class, isn't it? Next, we take the yoke. And yoke, remember, we said was a voluntary. You choose your yokes. Hopefully no one forced you to consecrate if you're consecrated. That was a decision. You said, that's a yoke I want to take on. And so that yoke represents a choice. And you take it. You take control. So it's an action. It's not enough to think about it and consider it, but you have to act on your actions there. And as a result, what he assures us is that it's easy. That's another interesting part that we're going to look at. And only those with a humble and contrite heart can accomplish this. And we'll look at some of those aspects as well. And as a result, we will learn of him. So if we follow this equation, we're going to look at each of these elements and see how they fit into yokes. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 27, we read, no one knows except those whom the Son chooses to reveal him. And we know this is true. The world is really blinded right now. There's all forms and flavors of Christianity, but, you know, true Christianity is not conforming God to some image or their representation. It's conforming self to God's image. And the only way to do that is to sacrifice and to put your all on the altar. And so it's saying that the Son is only going to reveal this secret to those who diligently seek him, isn't it? In 1 Peter 2:9 we read, he should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And I have to tell you, this is a marvelous light. I am so excited by the gospel of the kingdom. I think all of us are. And when you see the darkness that is out there, you know, Brother Byron, in his opening statement, listed all the dark headlines. And I appreciate the fact that he said, you know, tomorrow there'll be a whole nother set of dark headlines. But we've been enlightened. And with those glasses on, we see the purpose of the situation that man's in. And so it's saying that God's only going to reveal this plan to a select class who he chooses, and as a result, they're going to come out of darkness. You know what we call this? This is an incredible offer. There's no better offer out there in the universe. It's amazing, and that's how we should really view it. That's exciting, isn't it? So it's a called out class. Number two, it's a choice. You know, the Lord, when he, in Proverbs 23:26, when he says, my son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways, he's inviting us. But it's a choice. It's not coercion. He's not forcing anybody. He's saying, I'm giving you an invitation. And by the way, if you don't take it, someone else will. Boy, that's powerful, isn't it? So when you see opportunities in serving the brethren and doing other things, take them. Limited time offer. But you have to give him your heart. It's not just enough like signing up for a job or for a trip. That's a one-time deal. It's like, give me your heart. We all know on the job what it looks like when you got a half-hearted coworker, right? They're a drag on the organization. You might as well not have them there. He wants people that are passionate about it. Give me thine heart. And what's he going to do? He's going to let your eyes observe his ways. And that really ties into one of the other things about, I'm going to teach you. But only if you have the right heart condition, you come to me. And along the way, he gives great liberty in Christ. There's the Apostle Paul has quite a bit to say about liberty. And we're in a study on this in 1 Corinthians right now in Orlando. It's like, you've been given liberty, but don't use it for an occasion for sin. Use it for good. That's part of that testing, isn't it? The third component is the yoke. And remember Brother Arbor's talk on hats? Remember one of them was servant. I was so glad when he started with servant and they said slave. You're a slave! And when you are a slave, you have no rights. You do what the master wants, period. You have no choice. You have no freedom. And yet Christ says, you have total freedom. Come to me and learn of me, and you will emulate me, and you will have freedom in Christ. He will give you a freedom of choice in what you do with your time and your talents. So this is a sign of servitude. But think of it like slave. Servant's kind of a nice term for it, but slave is kind of harsh. And it is harsh. You're giving everything. You're giving up your will. And you're saying, Master, whatever your will is, it's okay with me. And I'm going to do it. That means you're going to go outside your comfort zone. That means you're going to have trials and tribulations. And in retrospect, they're going to be life transforming. The most difficult experiences we have in life, when we face death and disease and loss of loved ones, when we come out the other side and we look at that experience, we see how that caused us to grow and develop. Now, this particular yoke that you see on the screen is a human yoke. And this is not uncommon with slaves, that they would yoke them together. So one who bears a yoke is a servant or a slave. You know, the significance of the yoke is all about horsepower. It was all about power. And in the past, it was horsepower or oxen or, you know, raw human strength. And in the 21st century, well, we look at horsepower. That's how we measure it, right? But it's the same thing. It's a measure of power which gets things done. And what is the purpose of yokes? Whether it be the horses there that are pulling what? A plow? Well, work from yokes brought fruitage. That was the purpose. It was not useless work. It was to bring fruitage. And that's a very key aspect of our Christian yokes as well. Now here is power. Two oxen, yoke power, reminds us of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And what do you notice when there is a yoke? It's not one, it's two or more, and they pull together. They pull together. You know, I'm reminded as I looked, you know, we made the trip out to Idaho to General Convention. And as we traveled, you know, we stopped some places and they had historical displays of, you know, the coming west. And predominantly they used a lot of oxen to pull those heavy carts. And it really looks just like this, right? They would represent the power that it took to move to the west. You know, the Apostle Paul in Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And that really shows that common union where we're pulling together. You know, one of the things that a yoke like this does is it constrains you, right? You're a servant. You can't go in different directions. There's a common direction and everybody's pulling in the same direction. And by the way, when they're yoked together, even if they're a little unequal, they help each other along the way. Very important. So a yoke is a power-sharing arrangement. It's a lot different than what we were saying about crosses, a power-sharing arrangement. And traditionally, a yoke is a balance of the power of two. And this is an interesting picture, because if you look at, this is a yoke of oxen during Civil War times, but it's not just one oxen, is it? So they're yoked together. And when you, so it balances the power of two, but when you yoke multiple together, you extend the power to many. And if you look on the picture, there are actually five yoke of oxen in this picture. So that would be very powerful pulling a heavy load. Now, one important thing is, when it comes to yoke and these oxen, look at these oxen. They put the most powerful oxen in the front. It's kind of like sled dogs in Alaska, because they're the leaders and they determine the rate of speed, and everybody else follows them and so forth. So the most powerful are always in the front. The next aspect we'll look at with yokes was that it was easy. And that seems to be a contradiction, doesn't it? We're just talking about hard manual labor and how it would take so many to pull, and yet we have this contrast where the Lord says your yoke will be easy, your burden will be light. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, we read, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ made us free, and we are... that we not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Remember, we started out and said, you choose the yokes you take. We all do. Whether it's our jobs, our families, our extended, you know, responsibilities or things that we like to do, we choose our yokes. And so it's saying, be careful. I'm going to give you freedom, but don't go back and entangle yourself in these yokes you don't need to be involved with, because you've given yourself as a slave to the master. In Acts 15:10, we read, now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we are able to bear? Of course, talking about the yoke of bondage under the law. No man could fulfill the law perfectly, except for one. Jesus. And so he didn't put us under that bondage. And so it's a warning as well. Don't involve yourself in yokes you don't need to be involved with. You have one master. So the question we have is, what yokes are you under? What yokes am I under? We need to evaluate, and some of them we may be able to let go. Things that we don't need to be involved with. Unnecessary yokes, what are they? Well, in Leviticus 26:13 we read, I am the Lord your God. I have broken the bonds of your yoke and made you go upright. The Lord is saying, I gave you freedom in Christ. When you consecrated your all to me, I've freed you from a whole lot of responsibilities you don't need to be involved with. What might some of these be? Well, right now, it is very popular and almost intriguing to get sucked into the political fray in our country, either on one side or another. Even if we're not actively involved in politics, we can get pulled in because there's good on both sides and there's bad on both sides, and that can start to consume our attention, and that's not what the Lord wants. In Galatians 5:1, he says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't get back into that. Focus on your goal. Another important aspect of yokes is setting a proper course. Setting a proper course. And we saw with that whole yoke of oxen, the five teams, the five pairs, that the front, the most powerful oxen, set the direction and they set the pace. And that's the case. In Jeremiah 31:18 we read, thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised, as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. A direct correlation here of this picture. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned, for thou art the Lord my God. So it's saying when we get these yokes, good or bad, so let's say it's our Christian yoke, and the Lord turns us, what do? Do we fight, or do we go in the direction the Lord has given us? Now I could ask you, how many of you in your lives have had an experience that has shaken you to the core? And your response is, Lord, why me? That might be our initial response. That's okay. We're not perfect yet. But then very quickly we should say, Lord, what do you want me to do? What would thou hast me to do? And particularly we've noticed among the more mature brethren, the question they asked is, how do you want me to be exercised? So they accept the trial, no matter how severe. And so it says, turn me and I shall be turned. And they submit willingly and willfully to the direction the Lord has set. That's the one direction. Now, we get some concept of yoke priorities in the parable of the wedding feast. And there's a mention of yoke and oxen in there. In Luke 14:18-20 it says, the first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground and I must needs go and see it. Remember, these were the guests that were invited, and they said, you know what? I've got real estate. I'm too busy. Can't come. Sorry. The next one says, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I have to prove it. And I pray that thou would excuse me. So the second one goes, you know, I got a new car. I got a new truck. I got to go try that out this weekend. I can't go to your wedding feast. Sorry. And another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. I'm too busy with the things of this world. There was a brother in our class that called these things momentary stupefaction. If you look at what was being offered, well, in retrospect, they would never turn this down, but because of real estate, because of vehicles, because of marriage, they had excuses. I just can't do that this weekend. It's very important as we look at things. I have a saying, good sacrifice is when it's very inconvenient, very uncomfortable, and it takes me out of my comfort zone, and it costs me something. And the reason I say that is, and I say, that's good sacrifice, and that makes me want to do it. You know, someone calls you, and their air conditioner is overflowing, it's 10:30 at night, and you're getting ready to go to bed. And I look at it when I apply those criteria. That's good sacrifice. I'll be right over. Right? It's how we look at things. And in the parable of the wedding feast, there was all these excuses, and what they had failed to see is they were not seeking first yoke priorities. So are we choosing wisely? That's a question we can only ask ourselves. And there are church responsibilities. Remember in John 21:15 through 17, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. Three times it was repeated about the importance of feeding the flock. In Philippians 4:3, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel. Help them. And it says, and with other fellow laborers or yoke fellows whose names are in the book of life. So help each other. You know, one of the reasons I really enjoyed coming early to this convention was, well, we got fellowship, but we also got to help out in the kitchen. And that's why I mentioned we should all thank Charlotte. She's a worker bee, and she just dove in. It was her, it's her privilege to do this for the brethren, the delicious meals we've had. And there are a lot of people that jumped in and helped. And it's a lot of fun to work with your yoke fellows, isn't it? You get to know them. These are those that you're going to spend eternity with. That's infinity. So it's really nice to get to know them now. And as a result of this, when we work together in feeding the flock and taking care of one another, we really learn in the truest sense to love one another. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, we read, my grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. This thought of the weak and the strong getting together and pulling together. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, one of the important things in our Christian walk is that we pull together, that we sacrifice for one another. And as a result, I mean, the Apostle Paul said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So whatever it is, whatever the inconvenience is, that's much more for the glory of God. As if you know me, you know that I love to work on projects with a lot of brethren, whether it be household projects or electronics or helping with Zoom or whatever, because you really get to know people when you interact with them and solve problems with them. And, you know, we talk about the ecclesia. Part of our feeding the sheep is not just feeding doctrine, but it's also helping individuals solve their problems. Not what we perceive their problems to be, but what they perceive their problems to be, to assist them and to nurture them. And, you know, in order to do that, we've really got to be humble. Sometimes we do very big and obvious things, and sometimes it's so humble and it's so lowly that no one knows it even happened. And that's really kind of the personification of humility. You know, Philippians 2:8, it says, and being found and fashioned as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of a cross. Now, this is a truly, truly amazing. So one that had been in the presence of God and had an integral part in creating everything that was created, humbled himself to be really persecuted and ultimately killed by mankind. That's humility. And so as such, you know, in our ecclesia arrangement, we need to be subject to one another and clothed with humility as we deal with each other. So as it says, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. So it's an absolute requirement. if you want to pull together in the same yoke. And you have to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. And the last thing that we mentioned was to learn of him. I am thy servant. Give me understanding. We have to have a yearning for understanding. And then what? The high priest, who was familiar with all of our infirmities, our shortcomings, and so forth, then we can learn of him, but only then. And that's necessary so that we can be sympathetic high priests. Well, let's think back to these two things. So we said that both the cross and the yoke are required to have an acceptable sacrifice. And you know, as I think of these, I think of the emblems during memorial and sacrifice being shown by that cup, his blood, the merit that was sacrificed on our behalf. And I think about the yoke, the works, his body being broken on behalf of his brethren. What a beautiful picture that is. So in Matthew 11:29-30, we read, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest in your souls." And what a wonderful assurance that is. So if we adopt this formula, if we prescribe ourselves to what the Lord said, he said, you're going to find rest, you're going to find peace, and you're going to find blessing in doing this. So as we look at Christ's yoke of love, the yoke of Christ celebrates our common union with one another, with each of us. So look around the room at your brethren. This is the common yoke that we share. That's a privilege, isn't it? And it's a blessing, because there are no more gentle, humble, and lovable people in the world than the brethren in this room and ecclesias around the world, because they are putting on the character of Christ. What a wonderful thing that is. We thank the Heavenly Father, for from him and through him and to him are all things. To God be the glory forever. Amen.